Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at the last six verses this morning. As we look at the last six verses, we're looking at perhaps one of the most graphic, one of the most vivid, one of the most moving pictures of sin and of the wonderful salvation that we have in Christ that you could find anywhere in the Bible. This morning, we're going to meet a leper. In Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, Jesus Christ touches a leper, which should make each of us ask ourselves, have we, who are infected by the leprosy of sin, been touched by the Lord Jesus? Leprosy was the scourge of the ancient world. Nothing evoked more fear, more dread, or more revulsion than the sight of these who were called the walking dead. That's what a leper was called, a walking dead man. The smell of his decaying flesh would announce his coming long before his tattered scraps of clothing would be seen, long before his raspy shouting with very little voice, as they were required to do, saying, unclean, 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 as these words would announce, as he was required to declare, his stumbling shuffle of toeless feet, his wandering, often sightless eyes, and the moans that often fell from a mouth that had no cheeks, no lips, no face, all pointed to leprosy, an unseen attacker that slowly destroyed human bodies and made individuals untouchable in society. The great Jewish cultural scholar, Dr. Edersheim, says this disease, which we today call leprosy, began with pain in various parts of the body. Numbness would follow. Soon skin would turn and lose its color, getting spots, becoming thick, turning glossy, and finally looking like scales. As the sickness of leprosy would progress, thickened spots would become dirty sores, and finally ulcers would develop all over the body due to a poor blood supply. Then the skin, especially around the eyes and the ears, would begin to bunch, deep furrows between the swellings, so that the face of the afflicted individual began to resemble that of a lion. Fingers would drop off or be absorbed into the body. Toes would be affected similarly. His throat would become hoarse, and you could now not only see and feel and smell the leper, but you could hear his rasping voice. And if you stayed around him long enough, you could even imagine a peculiar taste in your mouth due to the odor of the leper. Do you see why no one wanted to be around them? They thought they would get it by being around them. Leprosy is a vivid and a graphic physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin. For just a moment, if you want to, look in Leviticus 13. Now, I don't want some of you to get lost in the Old Testament. But Leviticus is the third book of the Bible. Don't lose Mark 1. But I want to show you what the Bible says about leprosy. It's very, very, very powerful in its picture imagery of sin. Leprosy is a vivid, graphic, physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin. Sin is ugly, loathsome, incurable, and contaminating. Sin separates us from God, and sin makes us an outcast from God. Leviticus 13 gives instruction to priests about sin, which, if you're a Bible marker, you can see that leprosy and sin exactly parallel. Now, the priests are told to do this to the leper, but the whole book of Leviticus points to the sin that leprosy is merely an illustration of. Look at this, Leviticus 13:3. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore is turned white, the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body. Leprosy was not a surface affliction. It was deeper. Sin is not a surface problem that you can just paint over, put makeup, or spray perfume on. Sin goes to the very soul of a person. So sin, like leprosy, is more than skin deep. Look at verse 8. Sin, like leprosy, also spreads. Leviticus 13:8 says, and if the priest sees the scab has indeed spread. a sin in one part of our life is just a sign that we have an endemic. We have a body-wide, life-wide, spirit-wide problem with sin. It's not like we have one isolated problem out here on the tips of our fingers. If we have leprosy anywhere, it's throughout our body. And if we have sin, the Bible says we are totally covered spiritually with sin. So sin spreads throughout the life. Now look at verse 45 of chapter 13. It's very interesting. Also, sin always defiles and isolates. And it says in verse 45, the leper on whom is the sore, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean, and he shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. So leprosy caused a person to be defiled and isolated, and they had to just cover their mouth because of the raspy voice and the awful smell. And they would just walk around covering their mouth, and any time anybody was in sight, they had to personally confess their uncleanness. Isn't that a beautiful picture of coming to Christ? We come saying, unclean, unclean. I can't even look at you. I'm unclean. You see the constant imagery that's in the Old Testament. Finally, it says in verse 52 of Leviticus 13 that a leprous garment is fit only for the fire. And that's why Isaiah said all of our garments are like what? Filthy rags. And that's leprous. See, leprosy would ooze and gangrenous, horrible orange and green stuff would come out, and they would wrap themselves up, and when they would get all sodden like an old dirty diaper, they'd just throw them on the roadside. And people would walk along and they'd see that. And that was something that was so revolting that they would just stay as far away because they didn't want to get it, and they didn't want to smell it, and they didn't want to see it. And the Lord says, the very best works we do, all powdered and perfumed up in church and giving and doing all this, apart from His grace in His sight, looks like filthy rags. Anything not generated by the Holy Spirit in our life is like a sodden rag full of leprosy. And so that was fit, it says in verse 52 and again in 57, only for the fire. Now listen, as a leper's horrible disease made everything associated with him fit only for the fire, so a spiritual leper who dies covered with their sin will burn forever and ever in the fires of hell. See, the imagery is so parallel. Okay, back to Mark chapter 1, because let's meet this fellow. Because to this man who, like Leviticus 13 said, his sin or his leprosy was deeper than his skin. It had spread, it defiled and isolated him, and his garments were fit only for the fire. That wasn't his big problem. His bigger problem was not the leprosy and the missing face and the missing eyelids. A lot of times their whole eyelid would eat off with the leprosy or be worn off, and their eye would just be kind of sticking out and looking at you. I mean, the whole person was so just grotesque to us. But this person comes up, and then came Jesus. And what I love in our passage, if you want to look at verse 42, we're going to read it all in a minute, but Mark, as he records Peter's memory of this event, uses his favorite word in our passage, and when this untouchable is touched by Jesus, here comes Mark's favorite word, verse 42. And immediately, I mean, he loved that word. I mean, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. I mean, Peter never forgot that moment. I want you to imagine what happened. Before we read the text, I want you to have in your mind the event that happened. That leper who was an untouchable, who had lived his life isolated, excluded, even the clothes of his body were totally hated by people that saw him. They didn't want him around. They were afraid of him. They pushed him away. That leper, when he was touched by Jesus, instantly his feet, most likely toeless, ulcerated, just little stubs that he shuffled along with, were suddenly whole. And they began bursting his shrunken sandals. I mean, can you imagine he just had kept tying his feet tighter and tighter so that he would have something protect him from those sharp rocks? And there, his feet tied tight with leather that he had picked up from the scrap pile, all of a sudden, his feet expanded and just burst right out of those, and they were brand new. before the eyes of everyone that were watching. The knobs of his hands, which had nothing on them, just stubs, which I have seen in various third world countries, people with that condition, all they have is just two, looks like little ham hocks. They have no fingers or anything. Can you imagine seeing that man walking up to Jesus, and it says he bowed down in front of him and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I'm willing, and all of a sudden, bang, fingers shot out of those hands. I mean, can you imagine the eyes of those people watching? Those feet bursting out in front of them? Back came his hair, his eyebrows, his eyelashes. Under his hair were ears. Before him, a nose. His skin became soft. Instead of glossy and hard and scaly like some reptile, his skin became soft and brand new before their very eyes immediately. I wonder, can you hear the thundering roar from the multitude? I mean, you clap when someone does some great feat of athletic prowess or some musical ability. Can you imagine the people who saw this man, who would shrink from this man, who would smell this man, who had seen him and watched him, because lepers lived in areas they didn't go very far because of their footless condition or toeless condition? Can you imagine the human huge overflow of just wonder and awe as they just thunderously approved of what Jesus did? But I think of the man. Can you hear the man crying, no longer unclean, unclean? Can you imagine that fella? I'm clean! I'm clean! I can go home! He hadn't seen, touched, or been around his family since the day the first sore appeared. That's what Jesus can do. Someone wrote a hymn about this moment. It goes like this. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me, and he made me whole. Well, the walking dead, the lepers, were so feared that they were driven to live outside of civilization. No family would be allowed to stay in touch with their loved one. That oozing green sore, as soon as it was detected, with pitiful wails like a funeral, the dirge of farewell to the precious husband, father, son, daughter, mother, grandfather, grandmother, whoever it was, would swell from the tear-filled faces of the ones never to see their loved ones again. Off went the walking dead leper to a dark and pain-filled world of exclusion. A world of hatred, bitterness, loneliness. Marked for life as a communicable bearer of the most dreaded incurable blight ever known. Doomed to be treated like an enemy for the rest of your life. Welcome to the leper's world. The world of the walking dead. Until the leper met Jesus. Let's stand together for the reading of verses 40 to 46. And I hope they will never be the same to you as God prompts our hearts to see ourselves in the compassion of Christ. Mark 1, and I'll read from 40 to the end of the chapter. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately, as soon as he had spoken, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said, don't tell anybody. He couldn't stop. Jesus tells us to tell everybody. We don't start. Amazing. Let's bow together. Father in heaven, I pray more than anything else that this morning every one of us would see ourselves as you see us. Apart from your grace, we were born into this world a spiritual leper, oozing, dying, odor-filled wretches. That is what you declare in your word. The best of us are dying lepers. The worst of us are pitifully rotting, dying lepers. All of us incurable with this disfiguring, debilitating disease we were born with, the terminal spiritual illness of sin. Thank you that you came into this world to love, to seek out, and to touch lepers. And you said that anyone who desires to be healed of their leprosy, anyone who desires your touch, you are willing. And this passage settles it once and for all. You said you are willing. Anyone who wants to come to you, let them come. And I pray that this morning we would rejoice that when you touch our lives, you make us brand new. Teach us to, like you, love the lost, touch the lost, to go out seeking the pitiful wretches in our world who are unloved and untouchable, and to surround them with the love of you, Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to remind you, the reason we're studying this passage today is to see what Jesus Christ can do for you. To see what Jesus Christ can do for anyone in an instant, in a split second of faith, the healing of Christ in salvation from sin, as we see in this passage, is instantaneous and it's complete. We know the verses. The scriptures say the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say will someday cleanse us. Instantly, on the spot, at the moment, will cleanse us. In fact, everything we do here at Tulsa Bible Church, every ministry we offer to the Lord, all we as believers are this morning, and all the preaching that goes out from this place rests on the foundation of the instantaneous and complete healing of the spiritual condition of terminal illness from sin that Jesus offers through his blood. Instant healing, cleansing, forgiveness. If you realize that the leprosy of sin has infected your person, then you have no doubt you're a sinner. If you believe that there is no reason why you should immediately go to Christ like this leper did, if you realize that Jesus is the only one that can cure it and there's no reason why you shouldn't immediately go to him, then you understand the message of salvation and all who come to him. He never pushes away. He forgives, he cleanses, he makes them brand new. That's why we study this. If you have not humbled yourself to say, I know that you're willing and you can make me clean, if not yet, then this morning, even as we're looking at this leper, this would be the perfect morning to come to Christ and say, if you want to, you can make me clean, and I want you to. And Jesus said, I will. And immediately he will. Mark 1:40, and let's just look at the text and the words of the text and maybe underline some things in your mind. Jesus is starting this Galilean tour. We actually began this section in verse 14 with John the Baptist and then Jesus calling in verse 16. But Jesus now is launching out a further phase of this Galilean ministry. And a man with leprosy came to him. And that was a bold move for a leper. By the way, they could be stoned to death for coming into town. That's how bold that move was. This guy was desperate. I mean, he didn't care what happened. He was going to get to Jesus. And that's the attitude of someone who does come to Christ. The parallel passage in Matthew adds that this man came to Jesus with reverence. His boldness did not come from presumption, but from humble adoration. In fact, if you notice, it says in verse 40, he came imploring him and kneeling down. The word kneeling down is very interesting. It's the word that we use for worship, proskuneo. And so actually it says he worshiped toward Christ. I mean, this fellow is coming the right way. He comes against all odds. He comes straight to Christ and he comes down bowing. Proskuneo means to bow and kiss toward. And so this man comes humbly. He comes worshipfully. He comes reverently. But he comes with nobody can stop me. I mean, he decided, kind of like that baseball player. He's committed. He's going to slide in no matter what. I mean, knock everybody out of the way. He's going to go in. And so this guy slides in before the Lord Jesus Christ, literally, head down, and he comes worshiping before Christ. He comes in a worshipful mode, and Matthew, the parallel, by the way, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this same event, and you have to read all three of them to get the full picture. Matthew also notes that the leper comes in, and Mark says that he just says to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Matthew adds one more word that we don't have, and that is, he said, Lord. And that's not simply in the sense of sir, because you could call someone Lord just kind of like, yes, sir, or yes, whatever. But he didn't simply come calling Jesus sir, but as an acknowledgement of his deity. You notice this fellow doesn't have any doubts that Jesus can do this. Now, in all of Israel's history, only one Jew had ever been healed of leprosy, and one Gentile. Miriam had been healed from leprosy. Naaman the Syrian had been healed from leprosy. So one Jew and one pagan in the whole preceding 2,200-year history of Israel. Two people, one Jew, one Gentile. This guy comes in and he says, you can do it if you want. You know what he's saying? You're like no one else that's ever walked the earth. You are divine. See the whole acknowledgement of Christ's deity. He knew Jesus could heal him. But what's interesting is this man, it says, was covered with leprosy. You say, it doesn't say that there. Well, that's in Luke chapter 5. I mean, this fellow didn't have one spot. He didn't have one bad finger. This guy was absolutely oozing from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. This man was full and overflowing with leprosy. What a picture of how we come to Christ. Full of leprosy in the final stages. Yet this leper was convinced Jesus could cleanse him. Without any presumption, he says, if you're willing, without any doubt, he says, you can. I like that. He's not presumptuous. He's not wavering. He says, if, and he bows, if you're willing. And then he confidently looks up. He says, you can make me clean. What a wonderful portrait of our salvation. He humbly begged Jesus. That's what this imploring in verse 40 means. Well, verse 41, moved by compassion. The word is splanchnistes. You say, what is that? It means your intestines. The seat of emotions was the stomach. We call it the heart. Actually, it's neither. It's our mind is where all this goes on. It's really interesting that we paint, you know, hearts and Valentines and everything. And actually, it's just the big muscle that, you know, beats so many thousand times a day and, you know, has new pig valves put on it when it gets old. But I'm not talking about that thing. I'm talking about the center of the emotions. And in the ancient world, they called it the right here. You know how when you get scared, you kind of feel it in your stomach. And when you get tense in your stomach. So they said, I love you with all of my intestines. Wouldn't that be nice? Get a big card and have all the 27-foot-long tube, you know, the large and the small intestine, and say, man, I love you with all those intestines. That's what he says to Jesus. And Jesus, look, Jesus moved by compassion. That means Jesus, in the metaphor of the day, Jesus' intestines were moved for him. Now, how would you like to reciprocate? Say, you know, yeah, I have the same for you. And so Jesus touched the untouchable. Jesus cured the incurable. And his touch showed that Jesus was not bound by all the regulations of the day regarding ritual defilement. And with this touch and with his authoritative pronouncement, look what Jesus says at the end of verse 41. He says, I am willing. That's a present tense. He says, I am continually willing. That's important because he still is. Present is an ongoing, never-ending action. Jesus says, I am willing today, as much as for the leper, for you. But then look at this. Be clean. An aorist passive, that's a decisive act. And he said, you, on the spot, be clean. He declared him to be clean. What a beautiful picture. This man, when he came before Christ, knew Jesus was able to heal him, but he wasn't sure the master was willing to heal him. You see, he did have a problem. He didn't know Jesus that well. That's still a problem today. You know, lost people today have the same unnecessary concern. God has made it abundantly clear that he is not willing that sinners should perish, right? He's declared that in his revealed will in this book. He says, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. But people still doubt that. And Jesus, as Paul records in 1 Timothy 2:4, he's willing that all men be saved. And anyone who has never trusted the Savior and who stays back because they think they're too defiled, they're too ruined by sin, they're actually in worse condition than that leper was. The leper only had a problem with his body, because when he came to Christ, his heart was already right, because he came to him as divine. He came humbly. He came reverently. He came imploring to him. And he said, I know you can cleanse me. All it's up to is if you want to. And Jesus said, forever, I've already declared I do want to, and I will. Well, Jesus told him, if you continue, after he cleansed him, he strictly warned him, verse 43, sent him away, and he said, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest. He said, as soon as he cleansed him, he says, hey, I'm going to send you off. You're going to be my calling card. What do you mean? Well, this is Mark. This is the launching of Christ's ministry. And Jesus has already gone to Nazareth and declared he's the Messiah. He read from Isaiah. And he said that one of the proofs of Messiah was he was going to heal the lepers. Remember, John the Baptist said, hey, are you the one? You're doing all the stuff the Bible said. Are you the Messiah? And Jesus started sending out calling cards, because when a leper was cleansed, Leviticus 14, we're going to see it in just a minute, is a whole chapter of what you're supposed to do when a leper gets healed. And Jesus said, could you run down to Jerusalem for me and go show them those fingers you just got and those toes you just got and all that new skin? Have them go through that ritual they're supposed to do, which has not been done for 800 years since Naaman got cleansed. If Naaman even bothered to go to Jerusalem, he probably didn't. Hadn't been done for 1,400 years since Miriam had been cleansed of leprosy. He said, have them dig out the old books. Check out that ceremony. Because every piece of the ceremony pointed to Jesus Christ. And Jesus sent him as a testimony. You can imagine the dramatic impact that man who suddenly appeared in Jerusalem at the temple and announced to the priest that Jesus of Nazareth had cured him of leprosy. It should have led to an examination of everything surrounding the healing. And Jesus, in effect, was presenting his calling card to the priests for them to come and investigate his claims. The healed man, however, told everybody on the way and made the crowd surge. Well, this morning, have you ever felt the touch of Jesus? This morning, the leper of Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, is the second touch of 8 times we see Jesus reaching out and touching those he came to seek in the gospel. It's very clear from Mark's gospel that the Lord delighted in touching the needy people. In fact, Jesus 8 times touches people in Mark's gospel. 8 times Jesus lays his hands, and when he came to touch the lost and dying lepers of this world with his love and salvation and his healing, he showed the heart of God. Someone wrote a poem once, which portrays Christ's whole ministry. I love it. They never signed it, so I don't know who wrote it. But it's called What a Night. It goes like this. What a night when the Judean skies with a mystic star dispensed its light. What a night when a blind man moved in his sleep. He dreamed that he had sight. That night when shepherds heard the song of angelic choirs near, a deaf man stirred in slumber's spell and dreamed that he could hear. That night when o'er the newborn babe tender Mary rose to lean, a loathsome leper smiled in his sleep. He was dreaming that he was clean. That night when in the manger lay sanctified who came to save, a man moved in the sleep of death and dreamed there was no more grave. With that touch, Jesus answered for all time the doubts of those who wonder if God really cares. God not only met the physical need, he understood the loneliness and pain that man has experienced. And if we have ever been lonely or felt rejected or unloved, we know what the touch meant to that man, as no human had touched him ever since he got leprosy. And when Jesus touched the leper, he contracted the leper's defilement. Now think about that. The Levitical law says if you touch a dead person, if you touch an unclean person, especially if you touch a leper, you are defiled. You have taken their defilement on you. Isn't that the message of salvation? Jesus reached over and took his sin upon himself and put his holiness upon the leper. The scriptures say in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that's what Christ did for us on the cross, when he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. What a picture. Well, Jesus told the disciples that Moses and the prophets spoke of him. In fact, he said right here, if you look again at verse 44 at the end, he told the man, go do what Moses commanded you to do. Well, this morning I want you to do that with me. Go back to Leviticus 14, okay? And I want to show you, real quickly, before we finish up, why Jesus told this man to go through this sacrifice in Jerusalem. And I think you will see this morning what Jesus meant when he said that the law and the prophets speak of him. Okay? Because Leviticus 14 presents a beautiful picture and type of the work of redemption. And what we're going to see is, in Leviticus 14, a leper, when he gets cleansed, is supposed to do this. He's supposed to get two birds, put them in a clay pot, kill one, let the other go, and get sprinkled with the blood, and that is supposed to be a picture of our Lord. Our incarnation and death, that's the bird put in the jar and then killed. His resurrection and ascension, the bird stained with blood and set free. The blood applied to the man's right ear, henceforth to listen to God's word, to his right thumb, to henceforth do God's work, his right toe, he was to henceforth follow God's way. Then oil was to be poured on him, which is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit and emblematic of his anointing. And all of that was to be done when his leprosy or his sin, which leprosy is a picture of, was taken care of. So let me show it to you piece by piece, okay? First three verses of Leviticus 14. The Lord said, thus shall be the law for the leper, the day of his cleansing. Verse 2, he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp. See, the leper had to stay outside the camp. The priest went and met him outside the camp. Where was Jesus crucified for us? He went outside the city, it says in Hebrews 13:12. And what does the Bible say in Luke 19:10? He came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is the active member in the agreement. He is the one that goes out. And so the first aspect, the priest had to seek out the leper. The leper was barred from coming into the camp. And so the priest went outside the camp. And what a picture this is of Christ who came out to seek and to save us outside the camp that we might be saved. We did not seek him. He came to seek and to save the lost. And since the unclean leper wasn't permitted to enter the camp, the priest had to go outside. And Jesus came as a friend of publicans and sinners, Luke 7 says. And as the great physician, Jesus makes house calls. And he goes out to this leper. That's the first three verses, but it gets much better. Look at verse 4. Then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds. Now, let me just do this real quick for you. They took two clean birds. That means, according to the sacrificial system, they were clean and unclean. So they took two clean birds. They stuck one inside of a clay pot and wrung its neck and killed it and took it and caused its blood to come out inside the pot. What a gross thing to think about. Then that bird was put away, and they did this whole process over running water. So either someone had to be pouring it or they had to stand over a stream. And then they took the living bird, held it, and put with it a piece of wood, a piece of hyssop, and held the bird, the wood, and the hyssop together, and got it all covered with the blood, and then walked over with that bird and sprinkled it on the guy and let the bird go. You go, what a weird, and that is the last thing we would do anywhere. I mean, it's just so strange. What is the principle? Well, verses 4 through 7 of Leviticus 14 say the leper, one, not only needed the priest to go out and seek him, but the leper needed a substitute to take away his uncleanness. Who's the substitute? Jesus Christ. Jesus came, and like a bird, he was from the heavens, but he was put into a clay pot. What's that? His incarnation. Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant, a body. Then Jesus was killed at the hands of his own creatures. That's why that first bird was killed. But the problem is you can't resurrect birds, so you had to have the second bird that was still alive, and you put the blood on it and let it go to show the resurrection. See, the whole Old Testament is filled. That's why Jesus said, when you read the Bible, you see me. And the first bird killed, shed its blood, and then the second bird with the blood on it flies away with the wood of the cross, you know, with it. You see, and the hyssop, the whole idea that his life was a substitute for us and he gave himself willingly, he sprinkles us clean, and he rose and ascended back to his Father. The whole picture of the substitute. Christ willingly left heaven, took upon himself a body. He put himself, as it were, in an earthen vessel that he might die for us. The bird was killed over running water, a picture of the Holy Spirit. The priest took the living bird, dipped it in the blood of the dead bird, set it free, a vivid illustration of Christ's resurrection. Christ died for our sins. He was raised again. He took the blood, spiritually speaking, back to heaven that we might be cleansed from sin. And the priest finally sprinkled some of the blood on the leper, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, look at the end of verse 7. This is amazing. See, every part of this talks about our salvation. Of the incarnation, the substitutionary death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ in those two bird things. But look at this. At the end of verse 7. After he's been sprinkled seven times, he is to be cleansed from the leprosy. Now look what the priest says. And shall pronounce him clean. Can you imagine if your whole life you'd been ostracized, pushed out, spit upon, people would stone you if you got near town. And all of a sudden, this man does the bird deal, sprinkles you and says, you're clean. You'd go, really? I don't feel clean. I don't look clean. Nobody thinks I'm clean. Did you know that's so much like the instant we're saved, that we're declared positionally righteous? You know what that man had to do, that leper that was being cleansed, or the woman, if it was a woman? Do you know what they had to do? They had to believe the pronouncement. They had to believe the word of the priest. You know, and some people, they still struggle with believing the fact that they are in the righteousness of Christ, positionally seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And that's how God sees us. You know, a lot of people struggle their whole life and they still act like they're a leper. But Jesus Christ has pronounced us clean. But it doesn't stop there. See, and this is the picture of salvation. The leper had to believe the word, but look at verse 8. The leper had to respond with obedience or he wouldn't be taken back into the camp. And here's what happened in verse 8. He is to be cleansed, shall wash his clothes. If the declaration of the priest was his position, then the activity he did was his personal sanctification. He had to cooperate with this venture. He had to take his clothes off and wash them. Why? Because salvation is pictured as being clothed with Christ, a new garment. He had to shave his body and he had to wait outside the camp for 8 days. He had to offer sacrifices. What's all that about? The leper had to respond with obedience. The washing of his clothes is a picture of the believer cleansing himself from the filthiness of the flesh, 2 Corinthians 7. After we've been saved, it's our responsibility to keep our lives blameless and holy for Christ's sake. The leper was to wait until the 8th day. Look at verse 10. On the 8th day. What's the big deal? 7 was the first week. The 8th day is the first day of the new week. That was always a picture. The 8th day was a new beginning. They started over again on the first day of the week. And so he had a new beginning. Now look what happens. In verse 14, the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of his right ear. So here's this leper who's just scrubbed up, washed his clothes, shaved himself off, waited for 8 days, done the trespass offering deal. He walks up to the priest, and the priest performs on him the same ritual the priest had performed on him to become a priest. The highest of all the procedures that were offered to humans on earth was the consecration of the priest, where they were consecrated with blood on the ear and blood on the right thumb and blood on the right toe, and then oil poured on their head for them to be able to come into the very presence of God. And guess what the leper got? The same treatment. Almost made people want to become a leper, so they could be consecrated just like the priest. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if you look in chapter 8, and you don't have to do it right now, chapter 8, verse 24 of Leviticus gives the same sequence for a priest to be consecrated to come into God's presence. And so this leper, when this leper, the priest came to him, The priest offered him a substitute. The leper was pronounced clean. Then the leper obeyed and did his personal cleansing and responded in obedience. Then he was reconsecrated and given a fresh new start, and his ear was touched with blood, which speaks of the fact that this leper was given the consecration of his ear to hear God's word, and then his right thumb was put blood upon it so he could work for God's glory, and then his right toe was blood was put upon it, and it was symbolically that he could walk in God's way. And then after the blood was put on him, the priest put oil on him. See, that's, you can't get the Holy Spirit till you're cleansed from your sin. And you see, the oil had to follow the blood. I mean, I was sharing this on Friday night with some friends, and I said, have you ever gotten anything out of Leviticus 14? And they all looked in their Bibles, and nothing was underlined. I said, well, I hope it's never the same again. This is such a picture of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Well, this whole sequence was a picture of Christ. Now, let's go back and finish off in Mark chapter 1, because it's time to go. Did you notice that this man was totally, instantly, marvelously cleansed? And this man went everywhere speaking of Jesus Christ. But the problem is, we don't see often a similar response today when we give out the gospel. This is why, and I want to close with this. Much of our modern evangelism and our personal witness has been weakened by our failure to confront people with the terrible dangers of their sin. Coming to Christ is facing and confessing our sin and bringing it to the Lord for cleansing. True conversion takes place when, like a leper, desperate people come to Christ, humbly confessing their need, reverently seeking Him. The truly repentant person, like this leper, will come before Christ with no pride, no self-will, no rights, and no claim to worthiness. You see the parallel? A truly repentant person will see himself as a repulsive sinner who has no claim to salvation apart from God's abundant grace, and will come believing that God can and will save him as he places his only hope in Jesus Christ. The sinner is in a plight more miserable than the leper. Let him imitate his example and go to Jesus, beseeching Jesus, kneeling down to Jesus, saying, if you will, you can make me clean. And then that hand which multiplied the loaves, that hand which reached down to save sinking Peter, that hand which upholds afflicted saints, which crowns believers, that same hand will touch every seeking sinner in one moment and make them clean. The love of Jesus is a source of salvation. He loves us, he looks, he touches, and we live. Let's bow together this morning. Father in heaven, if there's any who still are clothed in the leprosy of their sin this morning, may they humbly, earnestly, imploringly come before you in their heart this morning and say, Lord Jesus, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. And you've already declared in your word, you are willing. And all who come to you, you will cleanse them. For us who have been cleansed, may we obey you. The leper disobeyed you and told everybody. We disobey you, we don't tell anybody. I pray that we would be so touched by your hand. Since we met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made us whole, we will never cease to praise him and tell everyone how you saved our soul. May that be true in our lives. Thank you for touching us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you.